truth in the inward parts. Lesson number 6. Remember, we started this lesson last week, along with preparing for quoting the scripture in the 11 o'clock hour. That took up some of our time, so we didn't get through the lesson entirely. So we're going to pick up in that. Let's start in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day, Lord. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that your word is alive. Lord, that it reaches into our hearts and into our lives, and it makes a difference. It encourages us. It is the lifter-upper of our head. When our heads are down and we're troubled, your word will lift up our heads, will lift our hearts, will lighten us. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we pray that your word would have free course for those that are here today. Pray for others that are still coming for safety. Lord, pray for our pastor over at the Evans Chapel. We pray that indeed the word would go forth there. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for Christians to grow. Lord, we pray for clarity of thought and understanding today as we hear your word, as we read it. Lord, that we would, as Brother Sam prayed, that we'd not just be a word, but it'd be change. It'd bring changes to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our verse for next week that I assigned was verse number what? Verse 11. Everybody tell me that. 11? 11. Okay. Part of the problems of the teacher is trying to communicate. And the ladies made it back. Communicating what the future plans are here. So verse 11 for next week. By the time we're through these lessons, you will have all of Psalm 51 memorized. Some of the lessons are taking a couple of weeks, so it's working out very well. The only problem is the lesson that we're memorizing might, or the verse that we're memorizing might not necessarily be the one with your lesson. But if you want to memorize a verse with a lesson, you're certainly welcome to do that, especially if you weren't here at the beginning and you don't have those early verses. Just go ahead and do the verse that's with the lesson. The verse today then would be Psalm 51:6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Truth in the inward parts. Knowing about ourselves, knowing about our sin, sometimes it's not clear to us. Sometimes we don't see it. God's word will reveal that to us. Maybe if it's bad enough, a brother will have to reveal it to us. But we're brothers, and we can do that. And we can take that, even though it might be a hard thing at the time. Truth in the inward parts. Lesson 6, behold. Behold, to stop, look, consider, take notice. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David had another man's wife, had then had that man killed, and had done much sin in his life. He continued in his job day by day, continued to be the king without getting those things dealt with. That's a bad place to be as a Christian. To have sin in our life that's not dealt with. Some time went by, the child was then born, the child then died. So some time passed. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. In fact, turn with me there. 2 Samuel 12. Last week we went through page 25 in our lesson. We went through the first point. There must be conviction. There must be conviction. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 7. 2 Samuel 12, 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." The prophet of God came to the king and told the king a little story about a man that had many sheep. And when a traveler came by, instead of taking one of his own sheep to prepare for the traveler, he took the neighbor's only little sheep and dressed it and prepared it for the traveler. And when David heard that, David told the man of God, in fact, look at verse 5. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die." Wow. Shall surely die. And then David looks and he says, "You're the man. You're the man that sinned. You're the man that had another man's wife and then had him killed." And then all that followed. But notice when David was accused by God's man, or we can be accused by God's word of our sin, what did he do? He right away turned. He right away repented. Right away. Now we'll move on. Then there are consequences for our sin. There was consequences for David's sin. In our lives, there are consequences for our sin. In Romans 8:1, turn with me to Romans 8:1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Understand, first of all, for our sin, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. We read, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So what does that mean for you and I? It means once we've been saved, once we've trusted Christ as our Savior, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no price to pay for our sin anymore. There's no condemnation in hell. We will not be in hell because we're Christians. So remember, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to hell. It's not there once we've been born again. It's been a blessing these past couple of months. We've seen a number of people saved. I believe, Wendy, you were saved just a couple of months ago. Is that correct? Okay. And that's exciting. So now your cousin's name was Gabriel. There's no more condemnation for Gabriel because she was saved. There's no more condemnation for you and I. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a good verse. That'd be a good memory verse. And when somebody tries to tell you something or you need to share it with somebody else, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But there are consequences for our sin. There are consequences for our sin. When David heard the story, following along in your lesson, when David heard the story of the prophet Nathan, the Bible says that David's anger was kindled, and rightly so. He charged forcefully in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. You want to keep your finger in 2 Samuel 12 or keep your Bible turned there. 2 Samuel 12, 6. "And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did that thing and because he had no pity." Because he had no pity. It says you restore it fourfold. 2 Timothy 12:6. Isn't it amazing, following along in your lesson on page 27, at that moment, David had no idea what he had just prophesied, what would happen in his own life. In 2 Samuel 12, when you examine David's life, you see some of the consequences of that sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 18, 2 Samuel 12, 18, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died." Consequences for sin? The child died. He died. There are consequences. Is there condemnation? No. How do we know? Because Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. We're on our way to heaven. But are there consequences for sin? There sure are. Here the child dies. Four things happen. We notice he said in verse 6 that he should restore the lamb fourfold. Here in David's life, four major things then happen. First, in chapter 12, verse 18, the child that he had with Bathsheba died. Secondly, chapter 13 and verse 14, chapter 13 and verse 14, the half-brother of Tamar forced himself upon his half-sister. In verse chapter 13, verse 14, "Howbeit he would not hearken unto her, as she pleaded with him not to do it, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her." The second thing of the four, the half-brother lay with her. Those that are familiar with the law, what is to happen to that man? Brother Frank, what's to happen to that man? He's dead. He's dead. Didn't happen to him. Then you go to the third thing, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 28. The third thing, consequences for sin. Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say it unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you to be courageous and be valiant." Tamar's brother said, "There'll come a day, buddy, and you're going to pay for this." And so he had his half-brother killed. His half-brother should have been killed because of what he had done. But he wasn't. And so now Absalom takes into his own hand. Does the Lord ask us today to take death into our own hands? No. Is there still corporate death? Sure there still is. We still have the law. We still have all that. In fact, you notice the laws of our land are based on this document. I don't think some people understand that. Absalom killed Amnon. Then the fourth and the final, as Absalom is trying to steal the kingdom from his father, the general gets looking and realizing, if I don't be careful, I could be on the short side of this. And then in chapter 18, verse 14, chapter 18, verse 14, "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom." Absalom, as we see here in this section, he's got a beautiful head of hair. He's caught in an oak tree. And David had left very specific orders about the protection of his children. When the general heard that Absalom was stuck, the general went and killed him. Went and killed him. Those are the four consequences of David's sin. Those are big. Those are big. Those would be big in your life. If that happened to you, you'd probably collapse to the ground. You wouldn't be able to stand. Somebody would sit you in a chair. Those are big. Sin has consequences. Is there condemnation? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. We're on our way to heaven. That's a done deal when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Are there consequences for our sin? Sure. People that go out and get drunk and get in accidents, you know, they lose their arm, whatever, it's still gone the next day. They can repent of their sin, and they can have a right relationship with God, but their arm won't come back. There are consequences for our sins. Moms and dads live lives outside of the Lord's will, and they see their kids go down a bad path. There are consequences for our sin. There are consequences for not walking in the Spirit. There's consequences for not praying, for not hiding God's word deep down in our heart. There's consequences for that. First of all, there must be conviction. We looked at that last week. And certainly as God's man pointed to the king, there was conviction that day when he said, "Thou art the man." Then there's consequences. Then thirdly, there is cleansing. Thank the Lord for cleansing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank the Lord for cleansing. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. 2 Samuel 12, 13. As we continue in our lesson of truth in the inward parts, truth in the inward parts, the goal of having a right relationship with God, having right fellowship with God. Notice on the front of your cover, front cover of your lesson, the way back to God. There is a way back to God. It is not difficult per se. But humility, humbling ourselves, can be difficult. But it is well doable. The way back to God is well doable. 2 Samuel 12:13 says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Thank the Lord that when you and I realize our sin and confess our sin, forgiveness is there. It's there. It's there right now waiting for you and I to come back. 2 Samuel 12:13, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." David prays in Psalm 51:7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." David wanted to be clean from his sin. When you and I sin, whether it be a sin of omission, sin of commission, we want to get that taken care of. We want our lives to be right. We want to have a right relationship with the Lord. Many people are so, in following along in your lessons, many people are so tormented by their sins that they say things they should never say, and they do things they should never do. When we allow sin to build up in our lives, we become overwhelmed. Our sin can overwhelm us. We can get to a point where we say, "It's just no use. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I've failed and I've failed and I've failed. And it's just no use." We can get to that point. Do we get there? Yes, we're human beings. We do get to that point. But can there be forgiveness? Yes. David got forgiveness. He got forgiveness for murder. He got forgiveness for taking another man's wife. Forgiveness can come when there's repentance. There is a way back to God. It's not that, okay, I've done this, that's it, God will have no fellowship with me anymore. No, that's not the way it is. There is a way back to God. If we don't be careful, our lives can become filthy, and what we need is a real cleansing of the inward man. Truth in the inward parts. Sometimes it can be hard for us to see. Sometimes we can't see it. Spurgeon contends that the worst trouble we have when looking at all troubles that come our way, he says it dwells right within us. Dwells within us. Wow. Wow. The absolute worst is ourselves. We have God's word, and when we see our sin and confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Some people have become so cynical that they do not even think true joy is possible. Is it even possible anymore for me to have a right relationship with the Lord? Yes, it is. It is. Even if we've sinned, even if we've sinned over and over, we don't stop repenting, we don't stop confessing. It is possible with men, but it is not possible with men, but it is possible with God. You and I will come up short every time. We'll come up short. But with God, it's possible. You and I can be clean from our sin. We can have joy and gladness. Where does it come from? It's straight from heaven. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Cometh down from above. Are you tired of pretending to be happy when you could have God's joy and gladness? There is a way back to God. What is it? It's recognition. It's confession. First of all, the hardest thing is to recognize it, then confessing it, then turning to God. Turning to God. Luke 15:20. We went through the Luke 15, the chapter of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Luke 15. Luke 15:20. The guy's out there in the field. He's wasted all of his inheritance. He's eating with the pigs, and he's thinking that food's starting to look pretty good. That's a hungry man. And the Bible says in Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He came to a point where he realized his sin. He confessed it, and then the Father was there. Our Heavenly Father is always there. You notice in that verse, he sees him a great way off. It's not like he knocked on the door, "Hey, Dad, I'm home." This Father saw him a long ways away. You think maybe he was looking? Think he was praying for that day? The boy will come back. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He made us a way to come back. He made a way for you and I to have fellowship with him again, even in spite of our sin. All it is a realization of our sin. a confession of our sin, and then a turning to God. Turning to God. There's a way back to God. There is a way to walk in sweet fellowship with the Lord. Once we do it, are we going to do it every day and all the time? Not necessarily. But when we find ourselves coming up short, when we find ourselves in sin, we acknowledge our sin, we confess our sin, and our Heavenly Father is there with open arms. Come back in the robe and the rings and everything, just as if he had never been gone. God's promises are there for us. His peace is there for us. Victory is there for you and I. There is a way back to God. God's word is the answer for mine and your problems in our lives. This is the answer. God's word is the answer. Read it, study it, memorize it, hide it deep down in your hearts. Take your memory verse cards, go over them, and go over them, go over them. Get your dailies in a packet, pull them out, run through them. You can run through 30 verses that you know in no time. Your dailies, you can do 30 verses in a daily in 10 minutes. Once you've learned them and they're in the daily pile. Once they're in the weekly pile, you can those verses, you run through them fast. So keep reviewing them. Let God's word be alive and real in your life. And then as a result, those around us will also benefit. Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let God's word flowing through you heal someone else. It's a powerful word. It'll fix us. It'll fix our friends. The Lord loves us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that as you desire, as you have prepared a way for us to return from our sin, our broken fellowship, that you've made a way. It's simply an understanding of our sin, then a confessing of it, and then a turning to you in prayer. Lord, might we take your word. Might it be part of our lives. Might it not just be a book that gets carried home on Sunday and is set down till the next Sunday. Lord, might your word be alive in our lives. Then might others around us benefit from it. Lord, we're thankful for the way back to God. Sweet fellowship is always right there, just at a turning. Pray for our pastor right now as he travels. We pray for safety. Pray for the services about to go on here throughout the building. Lord, that your word would go forth with power. Lord, I pray that we do our lessons this week, and we do our questions, that we do our memory verses. Lord, help us to spend those moments with you each day. Those brief daily visits with a wise companion. God's promises new to us each day if we just open your word. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.